Okay, if everyone could stand, we'll read this verse together. Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just ask, Lord, for your help today, that you would enable me by your Spirit to be able to rightly divide your truth that you've graciously given to us. I do ask, Lord, for the hearers, for believers to be encouraged, for sinners to be saved. In Christ's name, amen. You can all be seated. Thank you. So, we come again to some of the last words in our Bible. We noted last week that the Bible doesn't end with the words the end, but it actually ends with a promise that Jesus Christ is coming again. He says, doesn't he? He says, surely I am coming soon. To do what? Well, Jesus is coming to judge the world, bring in eternal joy and comfort to some, and casting others out into misery and everlasting contempt. And how soon is he coming? Well, we don't know, do we? He says no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man, at least in his incarnation. We saw last week that some people have even tried to guess the time every single time. Wrong. We also saw that the Christian faces a dilemma, this difficult dilemma, that although we desire the Lord to come, and we join in the prayer of saying, amen, come Lord Jesus, there's a section of our heart that feels a tension, and we think, yes, Lord, come, but at the same time, it's, Lord, please give more time for my family to be saved, right? Give more time for my children to be saved. Give more time for my neighbor to be saved. And we saw that God is absolutely sovereign over this dilemma, and he actually uses it to fuel and use it as ammunition to cause us to pray. And in the meantime, the here and now, whilst we're on this earth, we have a command. We have a mission. This is a collective mission of the church, and that is to preach the gospel to every living creature. And this mission has a deadline. It has a deadline individually in our death. Obviously, when we die, that's it. We pass from this life into the next. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But collectively, as a church, we have a deadline, and that is the final return of Christ. Surely I am coming soon. So, knowing that he could come back at any time, yes, we pray, we love, we care, but we tell people the gospel. We actually go and tell people the gospel. You see, that's the only way that people are going to hear the gospel, if someone tells them, right? If no one tells them the gospel, they're not going to hear it. So what do? Well, we tell men and women what Christ has done. We tell men and women what Christ has done for the sins of the world, and we tell men and women what he's achieved on the cross. And you know what? You tell men and women what Jesus has done for you. Share your own testimony. And you know what? What else we tell them? We tell them that he's coming back soon. That they need to be ready for this. We evangelize. And that's kind of what I want to draw our attention to today, the topic of evangelism. But because we need to make sure that our relationship with evangelism is biblically balanced. What do I mean? Well, sadly, like lots of other doctrines, the devil loves to drive people to extremes. You see, some people think, well, at least they're deceived into thinking that since Jesus could return at any time and he's coming back soon, then every single Christian should be out there evangelizing all the time. And this, obviously, they start to try and preach this to others and try to make people feel guilty that they're not out telling people, because, I mean, he could come back right now, couldn't he? I mean, that's the truth, right? So, it's and also, you know, like, if we really believe that Jesus could come back any time, then you'd probably draw from that, well, we should just be out all the time telling people about him. And then even an atheist one said, he said, you really believe that people are perishing? You really believe that Jesus Christ is coming back soon and he's going to judge them and throw them into hell? The why, if that was me, if I really believed that, I would be out every single day telling people. I mean, it sounds like a plausible argument, doesn't it? Sounds like, well, we should all just quit our jobs, run from our responsibilities in the home, and just go out and tell people about Christ. But actually, that position is unbalanced. And it doesn't weigh up with Scripture. You see, Scripture doesn't teach that everyone's an evangelist. In the sense that the Bible uses the term evangelist. You see, I get it, you know, sometimes we'll say, like, you know, we're all called to be evangelists. But really what people mean by that is, we're all called to be a witness of the gospel, right? And generally speaking, I would agree with that. I've got no problem with that. But not every Christian has been called to be an evangelist for Christ. They've been called to be a witness for Christ. We're all evangelical, aren't we? We all believe and bear a responsibility in sharing the Lord with the lost. But the Bible, when actually using the term evangelist, it is speaking about a unique, special calling from God. You don't have to go there. But just listen, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So an evangelist, in the way the Bible uses the term evangelist, is someone who is specifically gifted and called by God to devote the bulk of their life, the bulk of their energy, the bulk of their time into preaching the gospel. And obviously that will come in all forms, whether that's handing tracts out in the street or open air preaching or knocking on people's doors. But it's a gift that's given by the Spirit. And God's not all equipped us with the gift of evangelism, just like he hasn't gifted us all to be pastors, right? That's in the verse. He's not gifted us all to be teachers. He's not. And plus, the Bible doesn't only consist of Revelation chapter 22, verse 20. You see, if the only inspired words of the Bible was, surely I am coming soon, right, well, we would just be out there all the time, wouldn't we? Nah. You see, because God has other scriptures in his word that are just as inspired. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, live quietly, minding your own affairs and work with your hands. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than what? An unbeliever or an infidel. So, if in the name of evangelism, you are running away from your clear God-given responsibilities in everyday life, then you're not honoring God as you should. You see, Jesus did say, surely I am coming soon. But it's not surely I am coming soon, spend all your time evangelizing. But it's surely I am coming soon, work with your hands, whether that's picking products in the factory or taking tumors out in the theater. surely I'm coming soon, put dinner on the table, whether that's Sainsbury's because you've got high standards, or if you're skint like me, you're going to Asda. Surely I am coming soon, visit orphans and widows in their distress. See, there's other needs, there's people that need help. Surely I am coming soon, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. Imagine if you got to a point where all you were doing was evangelizing, that you weren't even meeting with the brethren, and that's an essential gift from God to you for the edifying of your soul. So if you're doing anything, at the expense of your clear God-given duties and responsibilities, then you're not being biblical, and you might be very, very unloving. If you can you just turn to Acts chapter 18? I want us to look at the example of Paul, right? I want to give you the example of Paul the Apostle, because I believe we can learn something about his balance of life and evangelism. You see, Paul was an evangelist, right? Paul the Apostle, he was an evangelist. And he used his time to preach the gospel, right? And his very mission in life was to preach the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles. And not only that, Paul was able to preach the gospel, wasn't he? I mean, he wrote the book of Romans. If there was anyone that had the ability to go out there and break down the gospel, it would be Paul, right? And Paul knew the second coming could happen at any time, didn't he? I mean, he wrote about it in some of his epistles. We saw some of them last week. Paul didn't even doubt that Christ could come back in his time. He was expecting it. But even his expectation of the return of Christ didn't make him turn his nose up at normal worldly activities such as work and looking after your kids. Let's look at verse 1. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and Greeks. So the Apostle Paul, he's in Corinth, he sees Aquila and Priscilla, and he notices that they build tents, and he thinks, well, I know that skill, I know that trade, I can help, I could earn a bit of cash, and I'll help Aquila and Priscilla further their business. And I'll be able to also make a living for myself while I'm here in Corinth. And also, this was an opportunity for Paul to help in the community of Corinth and gain relationships with the locals. It might have been that many of the Corinthian converts that we read about in Corinthians 1 and 2 might have been converted through not necessarily the Paul preached in the synagogue, but maybe reaching out to them on his lunch break when he was building tents. We don't know. We'll know in heaven. But one way we know many of the Corinthians were saved was through his Saturday evangelism. Verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. So Paul committed his time to evangelism. Committed his time to build tents. And this, in a way, it did strip some of his time from being able to go out and preach the gospel, because he had these responsibilities. He obviously told Aquila and Priscilla, listen, I'll be able to work for you these days. I'll be able to do that. But this Saturday, I'm going to keep that aside to preach to people. And we don't know, but it may have been that this day was the only day Paul had to go out evangelism because, well, I would guess probably through the week, Monday to Friday, he was working, building tents with Aquila and Priscilla. And on a Sunday, he would have been fellowshipping with the saints. And they would have been rejoicing and reflecting and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But despite it being his only day out in evangelism, we see further down in verse 8 that Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, and all his household were saved. See, even in the midst of Paul's busyness of life, of helping build tents, he set aside that day and to go and preach the gospel and to try and reason with the Jews and Greeks in the synagogue. And through it, the leader of the synagogue gets converted. You know, it's funny, isn't it? Because oftentimes we see work as a hindrance to our evangelism. But the Lord can actually use that to make connections with people who are lost, and he can use it to open up doors for the gospel, and he can use it by our very witness of being a good testimony at work. And it could be that through your witness and through you sharing the truth with the people that you work with, your boss could get saved, right? It could be someone that has power that could get saved. So don't ever minimize your efforts in going out and evangelizing. Don't think, oh, well, I only do it once a week, or I only do it once a month. Because God could use that very specific time to save someone. God could use you in the salvation of others. And we also learn from the life of Paul that if we manage our time well, we will be able to get out and use some time of our week, at least once a day, or, you know, a few hours on a Saturday, to reach the lost in evangelism. Some of you might feel guilty and discouraged because there was once a time in your life where you were able to go out evangelizing all the time, but then as life has gone on, more responsibilities have come your way, which you prayed for. You prayed for them. You said, Lord, oh, please give me a wife. Oh, that woman over there, I desire her. Please give me her. Okay, you can have her. Well, I've got no time now. Lord, give us children. Lord, give us children. There you go. There's four kids. I've got no time now. Go out and evangelize now. Lord, give me that job promotion. Give me that job promotion. Right, there you go. I've got no time. No time to go out and evangelize. Or you've got health problems that you didn't pray for. You've got health problems that you didn't desire. Or you've been placed in a situation that's out of your hands and it's held you back from reaching the loss that you might feel like you once did. Well, be glad, right? God has it that your life is to be this, where he is in control, and for his glory and for the purpose of the advancement of the kingdom, he has desired such that you're in this particular situation. What do you mean? How can he advance the kingdom? I can't even find a day to get out or evangelize. I feel like there's no opportunities come my way to tell people. Listen, you see, God is so great and so good and so sovereign over the advancement of the gospel that he's able to use your very present circumstances and your present limitations to grow his kingdom here on earth. You see, evangelism is not just standing in the street preaching. Evangelism is not just handing out leaflets. Evangelism is not just knocking on doors. Evangelism ultimately is reaching the lost in any situation that you find yourself. I think of Paul and Peter in prison. You know, it's like, what can I do here? How can I reach people the gospel? And then God gets saved. Like a terrible situation, but God was able to save people through it. And if you're looking after kids, if you've got kids that you prayed for, don't your kids need the gospel? Children, are you listening to your mom when they tell you the gospel? Are you listening to your dad when they tell you about who Jesus is and what he's done? They care about you. And you know what? Even if our kids do waver and then they get older and they walk away, you shared the truth with them when they were young, and them little gospel truths will echo in their minds. And there might be a day where they realize that sin has took them to a place they never thought would take them, and that word could come to them at that very time. Don't ever minimize your role as a mother in preaching the gospel to your children. If you're in a busy job, don't your employees need to hear the gospel? Is it perhaps God's gracious will that he's actually placed you in that company in order to reach those who you work with? If you're ill, don't your carers and doctors need to hear the gospel? Is it perhaps God's gracious will that he's actually chosen you to be ill, that you might share the truth with one of your carers, one of your doctors? Listen, I'm not saying you need to preach the gospel to your doctor every time you see him. I'm just saying that God could open up doors and conversations that are above and beyond what we could imagine. And brethren, listen, I'm only giving you examples that my finite mind can come up with. I came up with these examples. Be glad that I'm not in charge of your life. Do you know what I mean? But God is infinitely wise, infinitely wonderful, infinitely sovereign. And guess what? He's in charge of your life. And he's completely able to use whatever present situation or circumstance that you find yourself to save others. And you know what? If you struggle in evangelism, or you struggle in sharing the gospel with people, don't be discouraged. Don't worry. We're weak. We don't want to trust in our own eloquence. We don't want to trust in our ability of trying to break down justification by faith and everything. Listen, if you really struggle, just tell people your testimony. Tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you. Tell them that one day you realized what a miserable wretch you were, and you saw that Jesus Christ and his work on the cross was sufficient to deal with your sins. And just tell them the truth about what the Lord's done in your life. And you know what? If anyone lacks wisdom, ask God. He'll give you the wisdom to say the right thing. And if any of you lack boldness, ask God, he'll give you boldness. In Acts, he asked God for boldness, and he gave it. And he'll give you boldness to say the hard things, right? Because there's some things that are hard to say, and we need boldness to say it. And if you struggle with gentleness, ask God for help to be gentle so you can say the hard things in a gentle way. And if you don't know what to say, ask God, because he'll give you the words to say. He'll help you. And be encouraged, right? Because whatever situation you find yourself right now, God is completely able to use you, and he will use you for his kingdom. And just to finish, because I understand that at the beginning, my message might have even seemed unbalanced as I was trying to bring out of trying to get a right balance in evangelism. But although the words of Christ, I am coming soon, although that doesn't teach that we should be out all evangelizing the whole time, if you have a desire to go out and preach the gospel, if you have a desire to go out and reach the lost, and them words just so happen to give you incentive, and them words just so happen to give you fuel and ammunition to actually go out and do it, will you take them words? I am coming soon. Surely I am coming soon. Listen, I don't want anyone to go to the other extreme and just think, well, I can just sit at home and do nothing. No, we need to go out. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Go preach to all creation. God has chosen to use weak people like us in our difficult and our busyness and in our... Well, that's the way God has it. He's chosen us to go and tell people the gospel. And we don't use our weaknesses to run away from it. We don't use our busyness of life to run away from it, but we try. And like Paul in building the tents, we try and be wise and think, how can I preach the gospel in my present circumstances right now? I hope that helps you. I hope that encourages you. And you know, as a church, we are getting some more tracks coming, and if you do feel an urge to join and hand out leaflets, please do. And let's just take the kingdom out into the world. Let's try and use every opportunity, every situation that we're in to tell people the gospel. But don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged when it does feel like you're not as active for God as you once were. Because while you're being discouraged, your daughter could be standing right in front of you and she needs Jesus. Or your son could be right in front of you and he needs Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We do ask, Lord, that you would encourage us all to preach the gospel and to reach out to the lost. We do pray that you'd help us to have that balance in life and work and evangelism, and just help us to realize that even in the midst of the busyness of life, we can actually use the opportunities that are right in front of us, the people that you've put in our life, whether that's in work, whether that's the family. Just pray this in your son's name. Amen.